Well, grace and peace be to you this holy day from Christ our Lord, who is the light of the world. Amen. The text for today's message, our meditation, comes to us from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 to 7. And I would like to share those with you again. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has a light shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of the peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it, and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Well, today we find ourselves gathered here today, and during this gathering, there is a very important ingredient to the celebration of Christmas. One, of course, that the devil tries very hard to get each and every one of us to neglect, and it is this: Christ was born, or Christ was not born, but he was born for us. Isaiah writes, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." And so when the angels announced the birth of our Savior to the shepherds, they didn't merely say, "The Savior is born," but "There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." That little baby who was cradled in Mary's arms, he's our baby. He is God's gift to us to address our greatest need. You know, if we don't understand that, then the manger scenes have no more meaning to us than Santa Claus does. So this morning then, with the prophet Isaiah, who is our guide, we're going to consider the true meaning of Christmas this year, as we do every year, under the theme, "Unto us a son is given," as today we recognize our need for him, and we'll also understand exactly who this son is. First of all, I want to focus in on how we recognize our need for our Lord and Savior this day. Our text from Isaiah begins, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of the oppressor, you have broken as a day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire." Very interesting words as we celebrate Christmas. But Isaiah uses very real pictures here to express some things: freedom from war, slavery, and oppression. To show us the blessings that Christ brings to us at Christmas time. These are very real pictures, and there's two reasons for that. First of all, much of the book of Isaiah warns Israel that they would be conquered. They would be enslaved. They would be oppressed because of their disobedience and their unfaithfulness to God. This happened to the northern kingdom first, when the Assyrians conquered and scattered them among the nations, and it was going to happen to the southern kingdom, known as Judah, when Babylon would appear to them and conquer them and lead them also into exile. But in this passage, Isaiah is not talking about freedom from Babylon here. He is talking about a spiritual war, oppression and slavery, that all of us all mankind is under. You know, ever since the fall into sin, man has lived in a spiritual exile. We know that when Adam and Eve were involved in eating the forbidden fruit, they died spiritually. What is it that they lost? They lost that very perfect knowledge of God they had once had. They had lost their desire to serve and obey Him as His dearly loved children. Darkness and death overshadowed mankind, oppression and slavery to sin, and terror of God and His judgment, despair and hell. All of these things loomed over mankind. All of these things are our fate also because of sin. You might say we were lost. We were lost in what I call a spiritual dungeon with no hope of escape. We were blinded and we were oppressed by sin. Eternal death was our most certain future. And why? Because we all rebel against God through our sins and our selfishness. And so I hope this morning you're starting to get the picture. What is it that God demands of each and every one of us? He demands perfection. He demands that we be perfect, far more perfect than we have ever been. Why? Because we are sinners, and we have no hope of saving ourselves. And so we need help. We need a Savior. And so, believers, as we are, we recognize that our captivity is to sin, and there is that need for a Savior. And we have prayed. We have prayed throughout the centuries in that wonderful hymn, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lowly exile here until whom the Son of God appears. O come, O root of Jesse, free you from Satan's tyranny, from depths of hell your people save, and bring them victory over the grave. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to you, O Israel. And so this day we do have a reason to rejoice. Why is that? Because Emmanuel has come to us. He has come to be our light in this darkness, to restore the knowledge of God that we have lost when man fell into sin. He is the one who will free us from that tyranny, the chains of sin and certain death. He came. One specific reason was to end the hostility that existed between us and God ever since the fall into sin. He came to conquer death and also the devil. He came to bring us true and lasting joy. But what joy is that? It's the joy of knowing that not only are we at peace with God, but we are deeply loved by Him. And because of that, eternal life is ours. And why? Well, we come to the next part of today's message, understanding exactly who the Son is. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Yes, unto us, it is for us. God sent His Son into the world. It was for us that Jesus took flesh and blood, that human flesh and blood. The Creator became His creation. It was for us that He was born in poverty, despised by the world, to a lowly virgin whose name was Mary. For us, the Almighty became a helpless baby. And why? Why did He do that? Because His love for us is what moved the Lord to save us. Love moved Him to send His Son to work out our salvation. And here is where pictures begin to deceive us. The world sees Mary in Mary's arms, a very helpless little baby boy who couldn't control his own arms, who couldn't speak, who was powerless even at that point. to hold his head up straight. The world sees a helpless baby that Mary had to protect, to nurture, and to care for. And while all this is very certainly true, as we know, for infants, there was also more to that child which can only be seen by our eyes of faith. Who is Mary's child? Isaiah tells us again, the government will be on his shoulders. This little child, this babe, would bear the weight of being our king. He would go out into the world and he would conquer. He would win our salvation and he would expand his kingdom. And it was not by sword or with soldiers, but with his precious gospel. He would fight the devil and he would win. He is called Wonderful. Well, how is that so? Because he's 100% God and he's also 100% man. Even though this baby, as he grew up, would be tempted in every way, just as we are, he would remain without sin. And yet he would bear the guilt of every single human being on earth, and he would take that guilt to the cross, suffering and dying for it, so that we might be saved. And as Pastor Hafen points out every year, that precious scene that we see, the manger with the cross extending into it, tells it more and pictures it better than any words we could ever say. Jesus is certainly wonderful. In fact, I consider him the greatest wonder of all. The text goes on to say that he is our counselor. The counselor, the wisdom of God. It is he who calls us to repentance and faith through the proclamation of the gospel. He came to be our guide throughout life on this earth, but more importantly, to lead to life eternal in heaven. He is the mighty God. Now I want you to think about that for just a moment. Jesus is the fullness of the deity in bodily form. He is the one that holds everything together for us, the one from whom the angels hide their faces because of his glory, the one from whom demons flee in terror. It is he who is lying in Mary's arms. God gave not just a child to us, but he gave himself as a child. To see our Lord Jesus is to see God, and more importantly, to understand how much he loves each and every one of us. He is the everlasting Father. Because as a good father has compassion for his children, so we know that Jesus has compassion for each and every one of us. A good father is to do everything in his power to help, to rescue, and protect his children. And it was our Lord Jesus who came to us in that same spirit. He's been planning our salvation before even the creation. He's also known as the Prince of Peace. No longer do any of us have to fear God's righteous wrath or punishment. And why is that? Because Jesus came. He came to suffer. He came to die for all of our sins. He came to reconcile us with God. And then our passage goes on towards the end to say, of the increase of his government and of the peace there will be no end, for on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. You know, the kingdom of our Lord would be on the increase, and it has been increasing ever since his birth. Why is that? Because it is the gospel that goes out each and every day of the year. It goes out to the world, and it is constantly conquering, constantly rescuing souls from Satan's dominion of darkness. And where do those souls go? It brings them into his kingdom of light. His gospel is what conquered our hearts. It rescued us from our sins by showing us how he paid for them through his life, his death, and his resurrection. Yes, dear friends, for us he has come. For us he established his kingdom with justice, and it was for us that he will reign forever. You know, Christmas is not just about the birth of the Savior. It is about the birth of our Savior. For unto us a child is born this day. Unto us the Son is given. And so it is my prayer for each and every one of you who have come this day. May the Lord ever lead us to recognize that we have a very special need for him. And may we ever rejoice in who he is and how he has saved us. In his precious and most wonderful and holy name, we ask these things. In Jesus' name, amen.